Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Williamson's got it. Pelicans hold on, driving into Murray. Somebody's thrown something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy, it's
yes.
warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out and I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it.
Extraordinary stuff.
That's a bit different, isn't it? End of the Pelicans-Kings game. I don't know if that Kings fan was just angry at the performance or wanted to have a laugh and he threw a chicken wing on the court.
Well, it wouldn't last normally that long if there were actual Pelicans around.
Oh, gone. Before
nah, the delicious. Exactly. They would have snapped it up in no time because they are voracious.
Something a bit different out of the NBA. Hey, a bit of news just coming out as well. Match review officers, Charlie Cameron, been offered a week for that tackle on Jake Lever last night, which a few people were critical of Jake, maybe playing it up a little bit at the time, but he's been charged with careless conduct, medium impact, and high contact, and that is a week under the table. So
how did
that would be a big loss. They play Geelong at home next week.
So, as because you're the guru when it comes to this stuff around here, how did that one stack up alongside the Toby Green nothing to see here last week?
Not a lot of difference. I thought Toby was lucky. Which we don't often say with Toby Green.
No, and I'm not barraging. I'm not
no,
barraging for
I,
Toby.
To get... I thought Toby probably had a case to answer there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure the impact was any higher on the one Charlie Cameron did than Toby Green did.
No,
so
no.
I think they don't quite marry up to me.
Mac Andrew was obviously angry,
yeah, he didn't and, like
which isn't always the go-to
no,
when
no.
you want to. You know, assess the worthiness
that must have been
of a
very close that one.
Yeah,
Toby
yeah,
Green.
Yeah.
So that would be a blow.
That is a big blow. So, okay. So who have they got? They got a big one next week.
They got
week.
Geelong at the
Gabba. That's right.
So that is a
that's
big game.
That's a huge out. Yeah, yeah. What are we doing?
99.
Righto. So
you start.
You want me to start? Righto.
Yeah, well, it's our first one each, and so then we'll go to the break.
Okay, I'm
going to
sort of repeat one that I kind of touched on yesterday. But it's something I'm red hot on, you know. So I'm going to go. List management is becoming one of the most interesting and important parts of footy. 10 years on the table for Errol Goulden underlines how bold clubs are becoming and the risks they're prepared to take. Jack McRae is an example of that. Signs that 5-year contract extension at the start of 2022 for 2023 and beyond on a reported $700,000 a year. Barely into the second year of it, he's struggling for a spot in the 22. He's got 4 years to go. If you're going to make these commitments, getting everyone on the same page... Getting everyone on the same page before the papers are signed is surely critical. Yes, things can change, but you'd like to think you can see where a player like McRae fits within your squad for longer than appears to be the case for now at the Dogs.
Like it. So they've got Lobb and Daniel playing in the reserves this weekend, and McRae has been playing in the reserves as well. He's playing tonight. That's a lot of your cap playing in the twos.
100%.
On long-ish deals.
Now, there's a part in there that the smarties will go, oh, that's he's getting at something there. Get everyone on the same page.
What
when
are you saying there?
Well, I think you just got to get everyone on the same page before you commit to long-term contracts with players. If you're the list management gurus and you're doing this, and then I think you would want to know that those who are responsible for ultimately picking the team are seeing that player, whoever it might be, in the same light that you as a list management person are. Presumably, I would imagine, those picking the team have had some say in the 5-year deal at contract extension that was given to McRae in the first place.
You'd hope so.
So, yes.
An interesting one.
Thank you.
I'll go.
Okay.
Well, the great man, Bruce Springsteen, has always said, ooh, you can't start a fire without a spark. And for the Brisbane Lions, their spark wasn't last week's win over North Melbourne, but it was the talk of discontent in the playing group following a postseason trip that has the Lions purring again. Well, it wasn't the talk, it was the way they chose to handle it. While CEO Greg Swan, coach Chris Fagan, and the players all denied there was an issue, the coach was more than happy to use it to his advantage. In the lead up to last week's game, Fagan said they would use the outside noise and they all have each other. He could have said nothing to see here, we don't want to talk about it, it's external, but he used it to bring this group together. In the last 8 quarters, they haven't put a foot wrong. As expected, they put North to the sword in Norwood, and last night at the G, they did the same to a genuine premiership contender in the Demons. To be fair, the signs were there in the loss to Collingwood. Their second quarter was that dominant, they should have put the reigning premiers away. Their forwards, Danaher, Hipwood and Cameron have all got their mojo back, and last night, A-Rod, stick with me, was that a sign of things to come from Cam Rayner, or just another flash in the pan? They're now 2-3, and we'll learn more in the next 3 weeks when they host Geelong, go to Canberra to play the Giants, and then have a Q clash at the Gabba.
Oh, big. Nice. He knew that a Rayner polish was about
to... He must have seen my script.
He knew it was coming, and he went with the buzzer early.
That wasn't a minute. He went in about 45 seconds.
He knew what was coming. He's got a blind spot when it comes to Cam Rayner, our button pusher.
Go, Keefe.
You're up, Sean.
World Athletics has announced that they are putting a bounty on Olympic medals, and in particular for the Paris Olympics, it's the gold medal. This decision marks a significant step forward in recognising the hard work and dedication of the incredible athletes. For years, athletes have put in countless hours of training and sacrifice to reach the pinnacle of their sport, yet too often their achievements have gone unrewarded financially. By offering monetary rewards to medal winners, World Athletics is not only acknowledging their exceptional performance, but also providing much-needed support for these individuals who have been dedicated their lives to their chosen discipline, and for many, go unrewarded. This decision not only benefits the athletes themselves, but also sets a positive example for other sports organisations around the world. It sends a clear message that the contributions of athletes should be valued and rewarded is a step towards creating more equitable and sustainable future for the world of athletics. And it's only going to get better when in the Los Angeles Olympic Games, it's going to be extended beyond just the gold medals that are going to get rewarded. It'll also be the silver
and bronze. Can you just turn his microphone off? He's not going to respond.
Oh, he went for 3 minutes longer.
He went three minutes
longer, did I?
3 minutes.
There's 21 words, and it was because he knew he was going to talk
about
Cam Rayner.
Well, can I say this? Far less prepared for my next two, so it might be a lot shorter.
I reckon you read that from a story I read in the Guardian from 2 days ago. But anyway, it was well delivered. Nice work from you.
You're joking.
18 minutes to five. We'll come back with our next items on the other side of this. A 99 continues. As the dust continues to swirl around Nestor Ayer and Kunda's situation, what are we left to think? The squad selected without him for the under-23 Asian Cup, with team principals suggesting that it's in the player's best interest that he's left out. Time to grow, ponder, develop, mature. Other things we're left to accept as the reasons behind his non-selection. He's not ready. Everything's got too much going on. Despite his obvious talent and outstanding goal-scoring record at under-17 international level for Australia. But then, the minute injury hits Marco Tilio, the calls are reportedly made to the Adelaide Gamebreaker, inviting him into the squad. What's happening? What happened to the concerns around his well-being? The teenager and his people were perplexed when the squad was first announced with the reasons attached for his absence. You can only guess what they were thinking when the about-face was revealed.
Oh, brilliant timing.
Thank you.
Well done. Well, it's not a huge statement, given it's only his 28th game in charge, but tonight's clash against the Dogs is the biggest of Brad Scott's tenure at Essendon so far. Following their thrashing at the hands of Port Adelaide, quite rightly, the Bombers have been smashed this week, like their midfield was, by Connor Rosie and Jason Horst-Francis. They turned up their toes, said Gary Lyon.
Horst-Francis?
Half their first round draft picks have been bust, said everyone. The Essendon edge may be as mythical as the Tooth Fairy, said Kingy. And they don't have the players to play on the edge, said club great Timothy Wispy Watson. If that doesn't make the coach and the 23 that are lucky enough to don the sash tonight angry, nothing will. They have to make a stand against a team that's owned them for the best part of the decade. The Dogs have won 9 of the past 10. They don't have to win, but they have to make the Dogs scrap to the very end. And Bombers, don't lose to what you know. Bont and Liver can't be the two most influential players on the ground again like they were last year. But don't sleep on the Dogs. Like the Bombers, they're 2-2. And unlike the Bombers, they're at full strength. They're a better team than Essendon. They're expected to play finals, unlike Essendon. Oh. Losses to Melbourne and Geelong are understandable, but losing to Essendon isn't. It's only round 5, but there's plenty at stake.
Have a listen to that. Mm. Written and authorised by a passionate Essendon supporter.
Mm.
The Dogs are under heat.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm making a quick change on my one because I woke up to the news this morning that the president of the North Melbourne Football Club, Sonia Hood, has had to delete her...
You only woke up to it this morning, did you?
Well, that's it. I wasn't aware of it until this morning. Right. Has had to delete her Twitter account. As disappointing as this is, it's a reflection on those that forced her to make that decision. She was receiving a torrent of abuse she described as gendered, misogynistic and revolting in the wake of the Kangaroos' winless start to the season. Now, to Coach Alistair Clarkson's credit, he's come out today and he said any of that vitriol should not be directed at the club president, Sonia Hood, and says the blame lays squarely with him for the ruse on off-field struggles. Admirable as it is, it still does not exonerate the disgusting behaviour of those that are using that type of language to someone who's put herself out there as the president of the North Melbourne Football Club, is prepared to go sit with the fans and communicate with them on the platform X. They should be ashamed of themselves. And it's disappointing that it got to that level.
Here, well, Andrew, done. And here, Clarko. 2021, Cozzy Pickett. Played 25 games. Melbourne won 20 of them, drew 1, lost 4. In 2022, he played 23 games. They won 15, they lost 8. In 2023, Melbourne, he played 23 games for them. They won 15, they lost 8. In 2024, he's played 4 games. They have not been beaten in any of the games that he has played. QED, Cozzy. They win more often, significantly so, almost 70% of the time when you play. Stop knocking blokes in the head. Stop jumping into opposition players' heads. Keep your feet on the ground. Attack the footy. Chase with vigour. Do all of the things you do. You are a fire starter. You are a game changer. You are so important to this team. They looked so meek and moderate without you out there last night. Please stop getting reported.
Like it. Now, it looks like a snore fest on paper to finish the round. Winless West Coast against the rebuilding and injury hit Richmond at Optus Stadium. But think again. The master, Dustin Martin, the don't argue king, coming up against the apprentice, the man that eats contact for breakfast, Harley Reid. Already the most talked about teenager of 2023 is a must watch. But as Mark Duffield rightly pointed out this week, some of his far more senior teammates were outstanding last week against Sydney. McGovern, 26 disposals, 9 intercepts despite losing some teeth. Yo, 28 disposals, 13 contested, 8 tackles. He led from the front. The Eagles won't get many chances to win games this season, but if they play like they did last week, they can win. Now, Taranto and Jack Ross aren't playing as well. And if none of the above gets you switching on late Sunday afternoon, consider Shea Bolton. His performance last week got lost because they lost. Unbelievable performance against the Saints. And if none of that gets you going, watch anyway, because it'll give a decent lead into the bounce.
Thank you.
I think the entire football world and community, which is the same thing, are acutely aware that the Hawthorn Football Club is going through a rebuilding phase. And in that, their players, many players are discussed. One that is mentioned more prominently recently is Bailey Smith. And there's no doubting Bailey Smith is an exceptional talent, albeit he's got facing some injury recovery issues. And while Smith is an incredible in talent and promising future, there are several reasons why the Hawthorn Football Club should be considering other options as a priority. First and foremost, Smith's playing style and position, I don't think aligns with what the club needs. He's a midfielder with where the Hawks seem to have invested with a lot of midfield talent.
Correct.
If you're looking at the Hawthorn Football Club through my eyes, they need the bookends. They need something up forward. They need something up back.
Damn
Sam
back.
Taylor, Jamari Ugle-Hagan, to me, should be greater priorities, albeit Bailey Smith is a fantastic talent.
You got so emotional then, you couldn't even spit your words out.
But well, I was making it up as I was going along. That's what my problem was. I didn't.
If you've got a view on any of that, feel free to share at 1-300-736-736. Not that we're going to have an awful lot of time, because we're running up to the news very, very quickly, and the quiz, the real quiz, sorry, the other quiz is coming up after that.
It's exceptionally good by me, just on the fly, just coming up with that type of...